information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
This is Love in the 21st Century. It is a talk show to discuss the philosophical to the practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. Tonight, hosted by myself, Tamara, Sadie Rose, and Sky Lee. So we are going to be beginning our first five-week series on love and relationships. So we have talked about love and self and love and family, and now we're going to talk about love and relationship. And as I was dreaming up what we were going to be talking about today, I was surprised by myself that I did not start with friendships, because it seems like a kind of a logical place to start in terms of love and relationship, and instead decided to dive into love and romantic relationships, probably because it's one of the things I talk the most about during the day. Somehow I end up having one or two conversations about my own relationship or the relationships of other people around me, and whether or not it takes 5 minutes or an hour or two, it ends up being a really big part of my day. So I figured it would be a good opportunity tonight to really just talk about relationships and how they affect our lives, and possibly stages and perspectives, because we all have our own opinion and perspective, and in a way are an expert in love, in relationship, because for the most part, some of us have experienced them or have viewed other people experiencing them, so we can't help but form opinions about those things. So tonight we're going to be talking about that, and like I said, though we're not necessarily experts, we don't study it on a daily basis, we study it in our own lives, and we invite you all to join that conversation. So the number to call is 895-1114. That'll get you on the air to share your own love perspective. You can also message us on the Facebook page, and I will do my best to read any comments or posts there. But again, to join the conversation, it's 895-1114. And we're going to start with a throwback here from Tina Turner, which is the song that I originally played as the theme song for Love in the 21st Century, is What's Love Got to Do with It?
Oh,
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rollo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rollo's West offers small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, and a wine bar, and artisanal cheeses. Rollo's West is open from 5 till 9 p.m. until 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468. So welcome back, Love in the 21st Century, talking about love and relationship, continuing on our five-week series, Jaunt. It's been working out to give each host an opportunity to share their perspective on the topic. And as I was mentioning before, this five-week series is love and relationship. And for me, myself, Tamara, what that resonates is in relationship. I mean, it's been such a real last 3 months. And so it's been a highlight of my conversations when I'm not working. So I figured, why not talk a little bit more about that? And when I was thinking about relationship and what I wanted to talk about, I wanted to look more about the stages that relationships go through. Mostly because I don't know that I've experienced most of them, and also because I don't know if there's a lot of validity in the different stages that I've read about. So we'll talk a little bit about that, as well as just how perspective changes as you get older. Like, the relationships that I've been in have definitely shaped my own personal perspective on love and relationship. And so just diving into that idea, and we'll see where we get to with that, and hopefully talk a little bit about maybe the benefits and the challenges, you know, because I know lots of people in my life that choose not to be in a relationship as well for their own reasons. So tonight we're all ladies in the studio, so I'm calling us the Lady Council. So yes, chime in even if you're not a lady. Chime in just to share your own perspective on love, because that's what we do here at Love in the 21st Century. Numbers 895-1114. So Miss,
well, so you say relationship. Can you clarify a little bit about what type of relationship? Because there's so many types of relationships. You're talking about like friend relationships, romantic relationships, relationships with family.
Romantic relationships.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. That was the specific relationship I chose to go with. And
great.
As I was mentioning before, mm-hmm. I was actually surprised by myself. Like, I didn't think of like friendship. As I was typing it, I was thinking friendship. Oh, yes, that would have been a logical choice, but that's not where I was. So,
well, we can tune in next week and talk more about friendship.
Yes,
this week we'll focus on romantic relationships.
Thanks, Sky.
Yeah.
So, Sadie, if you wouldn't mind chiming in, and I called you and asked you if you'd be interested in being a part of this show. Could you maybe share what part piqued your interest?
Yeah, thanks for having me again, and that your invitation piqued my interest, because it's always nice to be invited, and I know I had written a blog post that you liked, because I saw you at the post office.
Yes.
And yeah, I always love, I mean, I'm always thinking about relationships and how, you know, that affects our lives as women. I think that's a big part of my writing. So I was, yeah, just interested to kind of see what you wanted to talk about.
Awesome. And Sky, you're here as support. And do you have anything in particular you want to share about opinions on romantic relationships before we dive in?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who doesn't really engage myself in too many romantic relationships, I like to, you know, believe that our romantic relationships don't necessarily have to define us as people.
And I think that's something that, as a society, we really push, you know, the single life as not being as healthy as somebody who's in a relationship. And so, I don't know, I guess I'm here to give that kind of perspective.
Right. And I think that there's a lot of validity in what you said in terms of like identifying yourself mm-hmm. with the relationship, because often when relationships go awry or maybe don't go the way we want them to, part of our identity is wrapped up in that relationship.
Absolutely.
And so it can be quite damaging to mm-hmm. our identity.
I agree.
So let's see. When I was getting ready today, I was looking for different pictures that would go along with the idea of relationship. And the one that piqued my interest, I mean, there was a few. There was ones that like kind of made light of relationships and were like, I just want joy in relationship and someone to have good fun with. And it's like, yeah, yeah, me. That's what I want. And then there was one that said, good relationships don't just happen. They take time, patience, and two people who want to be together. And the reality is that's kind of like the unfortunate truth. Like, you have to want to be in a relationship first off to really be willing to do what can be considered work in relationships. So that's kind of like the spectrum that I'm coming from, is that the relationships that we're working to commit to, we're working to be the person we want to be in relationship, not maybe necessarily like the flinging dating relationships or just the let's hang out because you're fun to hang out with kind of person. Because I think in general we get together in relationship because it is fun, and then sometimes that shifts. So we're going to talk a bit about those stages and what that looks like. I also was thinking about a younger me, like I mentioned before, and how that has affected my place in relationship. Mm. So maybe we can talk a little bit about just like that idea about relationship and how it's kind of like how it's shifted over time. So for myself, thinking about relationship, like my parents are the model for my relationship, and my parents are still married, and it's, you know, some might consider that to be, you know, like a amazing or an unusual thing, you know, for this time and this modern age. They've been married for like 30 something years, and I mean, there's a lot of different realities that go into that, why my parents are still married, but that definitely shaped my relationship view. So when I first got into relationships, the first relationship I was in was probably when I was maybe 17, like real relationship. Like I had other relationships, won't classify those as relationships, but was with somebody that, like, I, you know, was willing to, in a sense, conform in a way to what I felt were their expectations upon me. And what was weird about that relationship, or what got weird about that relationship, at some point I kind of felt like I was stuck in this relationship. Like, oh man, this is the person I'm going to marry. Am I ready for that? Like, I was like totally psyching myself out for that. And I think partially because that was what the person I was dating was older than I was wanted. And so I was kind of like trying to psych myself up for this idea that, like, yeah, I can totally do this. Like, but mind you, I'm like 20 and I'm like doing the whole like housewife bit, and it was not cute for me at all. So that shaped it. And it was like, noticing my relationship patterns and how I get into relationship and sort of like view it as this, all or nothing sort of relationship can be stifling to relationships, where I get really like in this like fear-based place. And I'm wondering, like, and now, you know, 10 or 12 years later in a different relationship, how I have to be really conscious of checking myself, of going there, like, and just realizing how easy it is for my mentality to get to this really committed level, because that's what's been modeled to me as my parents. Like, my parents are like, especially my mom, is a diehard wife. she's definitely just been the like all in kind of person. And so, it's been something to grapple with as I become my own woman and live life the way I want to figure out how I identify, one, as a single woman, and two, as a woman in relationship.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point. We oftentimes model the relationships that we engage in after our parents. I mean, that's you know, the first relationship that we've ever really experienced is watching our moms and our dads, or our moms and our moms, or and our dads and our dads have these relationships. So I know for me, my dad and my stepmom were very close. You know, they work together, they play together, you know, they live together. And for me, growing up, it was really hard for me to distinguish between them as individuals. And so growing up, relationships really freak me out, because I always have this fear that I'm going to lose myself in this relationship and no longer have my own identity. So, I mean, that's something that I'm continuously struggling with, one of those schemas that I'm holding on to. But I think that, you know, when we reflect back on the relationships that we observed early in life, we oftentimes see parallels.
I like hearing your guys' stories. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of flip perspectives a little bit, I'll say that I do think, I mean, of course, our parents model something to us. But as I get older, I'm kind of looking more into this information of, you know, Oprah is one of my heroes. And what Oprah would say about that is you are not taking responsibility for your choices and your actions. Every time we're like, well, my parents did it this way. You know, that's fine if you want to keep living that framework. But, you know, it's like nobody else is going to decide for you, and nobody else is going to live for you, and nobody else is going to change for you except for you. So every time we really subtly put that responsibility on our parents in relationship or whatever, how we deal with money, how we eat, whatever it is, you know, that's us deferring responsibility. So I would, you know, I like to bring that up just to kind of call all of us to really look at that and say, okay, at what age do I let that go? When do I let go of feeling like I'm going to do it like my parents? Because there's plenty of things our parents taught us that we reject and that we retrain ourselves because we don't want those things and we don't want to do it that way. So that's just kind of speaking to that. And then, yeah, I do feel like one of the most important conversations in relationship is to really look at, we're talking about love and commitment, and love is a verb. You know, it's not a feeling, and it's not even a state of mind necessarily. So when you're in relationship, how are you acting in love?
Absolutely. And to just piggyback on what you're saying about what Oprah would say is that my mom is a big fan of Oprah, too. That was what I was going to say. Yeah, she is. I mean, Oprah's a pretty amazing woman. Like, yeah. her life experience has been amazing, and where she's brought herself from. But what I wanted to say is that exactly that we have to consciously make that choice of who and what we want to be and how we want it to affect us in a conscious way. And so for me, in my place, it's about becoming conscious of those decisions and those actions, because it's, for me, easy to slip back into the pattern what I've been experienced if I choose not to be conscious about it and think, oh, I'm just going to be different. It's like one of those things, like people say, you're becoming your parents. You know, it's like when you're not conscious about your actions or your behaviors or where they come from, then we automatically do what's modeled and experienced around us. And so for me, it's about, you know, breaking those norms. Like, I remember when I like passed the age of like all my siblings and my aunts and uncles when they had children. And it was like a big thing for my mom. It still is a big thing for my mom. But that was a conscious decision, you know, like that was not my path at that time. And it's had to be, you know, it's shifted and shaped our family because of it. But yeah, it's definitely about making conscious decision in relationship. And I'm happy to hear what you said about love being a verb, because we so often think about like, oh, I'm just in love, so that's it. You know, like everything's going to be roses and ice cream now because we're in love. It's like, well, you know, there's still life going on around us. So how are we going to actively be in love as a verb with each other, whether that's in a friendship or in a partnership? Mm-hmm. I wanted to point out something that you were bringing up, Sky, which was not only the fears that come along with, you know, the idea of what our parents offer us, but but also like the glory of the things we look forward to mm-hmm. in terms of with partnership. So there's kind of those the two-edged idea of what we look at when we see any real relationship that's modeled around us, not just our parents' relationships, but any relationship, and how those are modeled. I think about the children that I'm around now, and I think about how, in my mind, in my child mind, how I would have been so amazed to be able to see so many loving relationships. I feel really blessed that my parents were openly affectionate towards each other, because I'm an affectionate person. And I want, you know, I think about how challenging it would be to not see anybody ever be affectionate towards each other. And then I think about the children that I see all the time and how much they get to see people that genuinely love each other, whether or not they're friends or partners or whatever, like just, you know, sitting with each other and paying attention to each other and really being in it. It's not something that in our American society is really valued that much, is to be like really intimately connected with more people than just your partner. Mm-hmm. And intimately meaning just like a true connection, like you care about that person, you think about that person, and you want good things for that person. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of people in this Chico community, ones that I see frequently anyway, that are really blessed. So I wanted to jump into some of the stages of relationship. And
so first, can I ask where you found these stages?
Stages. My official research was done through Google. And I can give you the sites if you like.
Well, just, is there kind of a general, were there similar stages on lots of sites, or did you?
Well, I found three different sources on stages, and there are definitely some similarities. And what's okay. interesting is like the first one is like 9 stages.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stages.
That's a lot of stages. And I was like, wow, there's like, I don't know, like, you know, have I gone through these stages? I don't know. And then the second one, it's like the same stages, but consolidated.
Okay.
And then the last one is like the first two, but super consolidated. It goes 9, 5, 3.
Great.
So it's just an interesting place to have a conversation around. I don't know how official any of these are, but nonetheless, found them interesting to ponder. So the first one, what's interesting across all three of them is they talk about, you know, the romantic stage of love. And the first one I was looking at, it was stage one, infatuation, which I think we can all pretty much identify that when you're first in a partnership that you, or in a relationship of any sort, is that you become infatuated or, you know, googly-eyed is official term.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, because what if your relationship is the foundation is friendship first? So what if it's not about being
good point
googly eyed?
Yeah, I agree.
What if it's about like, I like you as a human being. Maybe I'm not quite attracted to you sexually yet, but I really appreciate things that you do, you say. I like the way you smell. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think infatuation is awesome. I love the way infatuation feels, but I don't know that it's the standard for how a relationship evolves.
Mm-hmm. Is there a point, though, I'd say that like once the relationship crosses the threshold of being friendship to a relationship, that there is, no matter what, that kind of like more intense feeling, romantic relationship infatuation going on?
Mm. I mean, I think that sexual, I mean, if you say googly eyes, infatuation, you're talking about that the sexual feelings that you get for a romantic partner, that in healthy relationships, yes, that feeling happens.
Whether they started as friends or not.
Right. I think that it does. It's not necessarily stage 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but it's definitely in there somewhere. I don't know that you can sustain a committed relationship over a long period of time if there's no sexual attraction. I mean, maybe you can, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, so yeah, what are the other, I want to hear the other stages.
Okay, so stage 2 is the understanding stage. So the understanding stage is when you're like getting to know each other, you're past the, you can't, like rose-colored glasses idea, and you're kind of working to like meet each other's edge. Stage 3 is the stage of disturbance. This is where you get into your first argument, it says, and you're like having to cross that that threshold of really people not agreeing all the time. So it's not just all not all rainbows. Stage four is the opinion maker. This is when we start to have opinions formed of the other person, expectations and requirements, whether spoken or unspoken. So we start to like have this like kind of residual emotional feeling towards them. Stage five is the molding stage. The molding stage is when each partner comes to a trying of becoming that what the other partner expects. So we're trying to like fit into the mold. Step six, the happy stage. This is apparently hoping that you get through all these stages, because as I was reading this, it was saying that at any stage you could just totally, you know, relationship would just fall apart. So stage six is the happy stage, where you've made it through the opinions and the molding, and you're kind of back in this like happy place from your infatuation. Stage seven is the stage of doubts, where you start to feel like, okay, like maybe this relationship was a good relationship and everything's feeling right and everything's looking right, but I'm still kind of like, is this the person that I'm going to be with?
So commitment shy.
Yes. Stage eight is the sexual exploration or bust. Okay. Like I said, I don't know these are official stages, but
these are not official stages. I would like to just say that on the air. But yeah, we can read this list for fun, but this is not relationship like science.
So that is when, you know, like just different times of relationship, both partners being interested and staying interested in each other is what Sky was kind of touching on before. And then the stage nine is the stage of complete trust. So stage nine is complete trust, where you have come to a place where you feel a deeper connection and partnership to your beloved and are feeling comfortable with them. So, I mean, I don't know if these stages are supposed to cycle or what. But
no,
I mean,
that's just kind of a silly list, no offense.
it is kind of a silly list. I mean, I think that there are parts of it that could be relevant. I don't know if you've ever heard of John Gottman. He's like the father of romantic relationships. He's done longitudinal studies over 30 to 40 years, and he found that there are three phases to actual romantic love.
Uh-huh. I bet that's the last one I looked at.
It could be. I mean, it's very simplistic, right? So, you know, his stage is falling in love, mm-hmm, right? That's your first stage is falling in love, and it has to do with you know, some of the things we talked about as far as sexual attraction and the hormones that go into effect and getting to know someone and learning more about them and falling in love with them. His second stage is building trust. So building trust in a relationship. Anything that is going to last a long time has to have a foundation of trust, right? What happens when you don't trust your partner? Mm-hmm. Is that going to work out very well? Probably not.
So stressful.
Yeah, it is so stressful. And then lastly, he says that building commitment and loyalty is the third stage, right? So after you've fallen in love and you've started building trust, you start building commitment and loyalty. And so he's done, you know, like I said, just longitudinal studies over like 20, 30 years measuring couples and watching them, and they have a love institute where they have these crazy fake apartments that they put these couples in, and they hook them up to all these dyad machines and measure their heartbeat and all this crazy stuff. But so when I think about John, like relationships, I think about John Gottman. I mean, as far as being able to explain the science behind romantic love, so.
Thank you for sharing that evidence-based reality compared to my Google search.
It's good. It's all good information.
It's
right?
good. I found the humor in these stages. That's like, I just think that relationships in a way are just so complex. And like, I've studied a lot about relationships, and I've read a lot of books about relationships, and I don't feel like I know anything more than what I've read.
So what are you wondering? Like, do you have, at the place that you're at right now, and because you wanted to talk about this, do you feel like you, at your core, have some questions about relationships and love that you could bring to the table?
I don't know that I have any particular questions. I mean, it's just interesting to talk about the different stages of mm-hmm. relationship and to think about where I am in terms of those stages mm-hmm. and to think about how my own personal history has an effect on where I am. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a particular question that comes to mind. One of the things that was definitely brought up with what Sky was mentioning around trust, it's like in relationships, that aspect, like how do you truly feel trust towards somebody? And so that is like, that's beyond like a stage of relationship or beyond like a perspective of relationship. That's just, I suppose, like a feeling.
Well, and I'll just say this really quick and then you go. The one thing I read, I think it's Ernest Hemingway. He says the only way you know if you can trust someone is to trust them.
Right. And so
and find out.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of trust, so trust is something that I've always had an issue with until, you know, until I started processing my own stuff a couple of years ago. And I used to jump in just trusting people. Right. And I would find that anytime I would just jump in and automatically trust people, something negative would happen and I would get hurt. And so I've come to the conclusion that trust is really earned. Mm-hmm. You know, you can trust, you can jump into a relationship trusting, which you should, right? If you're getting into this relationship, you should be able to trust that person you're into a relationship with. But, you know, trust is earned. So as long as that partner is doing things that continues to facilitate those feelings of trust, then you're in the clear. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, if you have a partner who is, you know, maybe not being completely honest about where they're going or who they're, you know, who they're spending time with or financial situations or, you know, you can come up with a whole bunch of other stuff. But it's just like the little things just tend to pile up. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I kind of come from a place of radical honesty.
Totally.
You know, I feel like if you're in a loving relationship with someone and they're going to accept you for who you are, then you should be able to be radically honest with, you know, whatever it is that you need to talk about.
I want to say two things. And I want to thank, and say hello to Kat, who's on the line.
Meow, kitty.
Are you there?
Oh.
Okay, never mind. We'll try to get her back on there in a second. I like as soon as I asked that question and I was listening to your answers, Sky, I was thinking, man, this is such a good question for my mom. Mm-hmm. Because like I feel like as a parent, you have to, your kids, well, me, I did lots of things for my parents. I had to be like, man, gotta rebuild my trust in you. And how do you do that? You know, how do you rebuild that feeling? Because obviously they went on to let me do more adventurous things that I didn't think they were going to let me do. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up is, I can't remember. So go ahead. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah. I'll just talk about trust a little bit. Also is that, yeah, it really, I think trust is so related to honesty and radical honesty. And, you know, it's not even, of course, you can still trust someone after something goes awry, as long as the honesty process is mm-hmm. intact. And that's why with parents and children, you know, if you have your, as long as you can kind of preserve that honest connection and people can speak their truths, mm-hmm. you know, and be honest with themselves and honest with their partners, then, you know, it's not a matter so much of one strike and you're out or like that. You know, it's just like, right. Is that person honest? And honestly, I think if somebody is honest, it's really, are they honest with themselves?
Absolutely.
Because if they aren't honest with themselves, they can't be honest with us.
No, I agree completely.
Agreed. I think Kat is there on the line.
Hey, gals.
Hey. How's Kansas City?
Oh, it's great. I'm over here with my friend's new parents. So we've got like a tiny little person. talk about love, man. They made some love over here. <It's been> great. Soaking it up. I just got to say, you know, I'm pretty glad my sexual orientation is heterosexual, at least for now, because you gals are so cracked. Your stages are irrelevant.
they got debunked already. It's so cool. It's okay.
I was so tickled listening to you all disagree on relationship stages on the air, and I thought it was awesome. And, you know, I had to kind of cut out the conversation because I've been streaming and then I used my phone to call in, but I heard you guys talking about trust and I was glad to hear, I think Sadie, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your new, hi, I'm Kim.
Hi.
I'll meet you soon. I was glad to hear you say that about trust and, that it can be redeemed and honesty mm-hmm. because I feel like, it is an ongoing practice, you know, mm-hmm. the art of relationship, and we're all learning and growing and finding out more about ourselves. And I guess I just was, yeah, listening in and feeling, I too felt like a little resistance about the idea of, I mean, I do believe that there are stages of growth, but I think it's so interesting here in the modern times to really, like, we don't have the same kind of categories of relationship like we used to, you know, like, I guess I just wanted to chime in. Like, I like myself, like, I ended up living with my partner maybe sooner than I thought I would. And, like, it's like, oh, we jumped into this, and then, oh, did we skip some stages? And, like, how do we go forward? Or, you know, like, I think there's more divorce these days, so people are mixing families. And it's kind of in a time of integration, so I feel like it is kind of a confusing time to really know where we're at. But anyway, just wanted to share my appreciation for the topic and that you guys are bringing up the love thing. And I feel like the trust, like you were saying, I think it really is the core. So it's like whatever stage you're in of growth, I think we're all in a process of self-discovery and being that honest with ourselves and with each other. And like, Sky, I appreciate your radical honesty. It's like, but that practice with ourselves first and foremost, like realizing what we need. And I think that's been, I think, a big challenge for me is understanding what my needs are first and foremost so I can communicate them.
Scary part though. The scary part is that radical honesty with ourselves, right?
Totally.
Because I think that society has conditioned us to feel shame when we don't fit a certain part, right? Or we don't reflect a certain way. Right. In the context of relationship or in committed or romantic relationships, you know, we live in a world with Disney and fairy tales and like all those romances where everything ends up perfect. Everybody gets married. Everybody has kids. And I don't know that that's the society, the modern day society that we live in. And I think that oftentimes people are shamed into when they don't fit that mold. So I think that's another topic of conversation.
Yeah, I completely agree. And even like Tamara talking earlier about, you know, these early relationships. I'm like, is this the one? Like, we're always,
right.
Like, what is this one? You know, like,
right.
And when am I? Because I think if we're all self-reflecting too, it's like, am I, you know, does that mean that I have to settle into one form as well? Or like, I mean, I do believe that we have our core self that is unchanging, but we're constantly evolving in how we express that and how we understand that about ourselves. And yeah, it's a lot of pressure to like have this. The one.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
I really have been taking to heart the, you know, the Buddhist philosophy of impermanence. So even in relationships, you know, you don't know if things are permanent. You don't know that once you commit to somebody that you two are going to grow old and die together. Like,
totally.
You know, everything is impermanent. Relationships.
Or you could, and you really want that, and then someone else decides to leave their body before you, and
right.
Then what now? Like, life, you know. You can have it all figured out. You can have that fairy tale, and it can change also, you know? So it's like, even then, it's like...
Well, does that mean that one that is no longer in their body is the one, or are you allowed to go forth and find the other?
Number two.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, exactly. Number two. Yeah.
Number three.
I think it's a confusing time for a lot of people, and I mean, especially, I think, women, I think about... I always, you know, go back to the example of my mom not being able to wear pants until
right.
High school, like in public, you know? And we're just now getting like this other perspective on relationships. I feel like, and also globally, you know, we're getting all these other influences in from other cultures and people have more choices in how to live than ever before. So I think it's an interesting time.
I am going to be 40 next month and I am single and childless. And I get some of the strangest, weirdest comments ever. Like, you're not married? You don't have children? And I'm, you know, honestly not interested in either of those things. So, yeah, I think that in this modern day age, we have the freedom to choose how we want to live our lives. Whether you want to be in a monogamous, committed relationship or a polyamorous relationship or, you know, you want to be...
Or no relationship.
Or a temporary relationship.
Totally.
Well, yeah. Thank you for calling in, Kat.
Yeah, thanks, gals. I'm enjoying listening to your voices over the air.
Yay.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
So, upon thinking about it, like, what, you know, what other areas about relationship, what inspired this radio show tonight, besides just the idea of talking about relationships, is communication. Mm. I feel like a lot of the conversations that I have with my roommates, my friends, and other folks in my life, people I work with, is around communication and the lack thereof of communication or clear communication. And talking about like the radical honesty part of it, it's that not only is there challenges with being completely honest, but really being able to communicate what we're feeling in a way that another person can receive it. Because I often hear a lot about communication, just like kind of like, and essentially emotionally vomiting on somebody, or just, you know, being like, well, this is how I feel, therefore I'm entitled to tell you how I feel. I'm being honest. Ugh, take it. And it's sort of like this, like, in consideration for the receiver, as though it's, that's not important. And I'm really surprised by that. I've been there. I've been in that stage, mm-hmm. that phase.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are ways to be radically honest while being conscious of not hurting the person that you're being radically honest with.
Right.
You know, I think that there are many barriers to communication. You know, I teach extensive classes on communication, and we talk a lot about the barriers that keep people from communicating, and they're very specific ones that would impede your communication in as much as you being you know, resentful or defensive or all of those other things that can get in the way of the love vibe, you know.
Absolutely. I was going to have, and hopefully am still going to have, another gentleman on the host on the show sometime named Maximus, and he teaches about noxious communication versus sound verbal communication. And it's rather simple, because it's really about the affect we have when we speak. Mm-hmm. It's not just about, like, you know, nonviolent communication or the barriers or whatever. It's like not about all these different things. It's like, where are you coming from when you're speaking? Are you coming from a heart place? Is your goal really to communicate and understand, or is it just to speak?
Yeah, and I, yeah, with that, what I really want to say, there's two things I want to say before we have to get off. Is that a huge part of communication, even in expressing yourself, is listening, mm-hmm. and asking mm. questions. So when you're talking to your partner, or if somebody does dump on you, you know, the best way to react is to ask a question. And I've found that that can really, really change things, instead of being like, well, this is what I think about that, or, you know, just always asking questions. And I learned that from one of my girlfriends, who is just such a great listener, and I learned it just from the way she talks with me. I'm like, wow, it feels so good to talk to you, because she totally listens and then asks me questions about all the stuff that I'm putting out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, positive listening is definitely a skill that's useful in creating trust in a relationship
and understanding each other.
Absolutely.
And then the last thing, a piece of relationship advice I heard recently that really stuck out for me, so I wanted to share it, is always to always turn toward each other when you're in a relationship. And, you know, whatever it is, of course, in joy, it's really easy to turn toward each other. But even in struggle, you know, a lot of times the inclination can be to literally turn away because we feel uncomfortable or angry or whatever it is. So to, like, open your chest toward the other person, just always energetically and physically turn toward each other. And that can really, you know, build a lot of bridges.
That's one of the things that John and Julie Gottman teach in their couples therapy, is turning towards each other versus turning away from each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an evidence-based skill.
Right. Yeah, I think it's so simple, but really probably life-changing and profound.
Well, and this conversation made me think about, oftentimes it's not about the intention of what we say to each other. Like, I might say something to you and my intention is not to be hurtful, but you may receive that as hurtful. So it's actually the reception part that is most important, right? So if I say something to Tamara and my intention was not to hurt your feelings, but I did hurt your feelings, right? And I can tell that, it would be about coming and saying, well, you know, Tamara, I'm sorry I said that. My intention was not to hurt your feelings. What can I do differently, right? Or what is it about what I just said to you that was hurtful, right? So just, again, keeping those lines of communication and that honesty, right? Not being afraid of getting your feelings hurt, or not letting your ego run the communication between you and your partner or whoever it is that you are talking to, right? Because I may have just hurt your feelings, may not have done it intentionally, but I did it, right? So right. Then I need to own up to that. I need to take responsibility for that thing that I just did that was hurtful, even if it wasn't meant to be hurtful.
Well, this has been a fun conversation and such a tease, because there's really just so much more to talk about. And it's fun to make light about relationships, in my opinion, because they can be really complex. But there's four more weeks, so we're going to talk more about relationships and relationship dynamics. So please call in, be a part of the conversation, post on our Facebook page. We're not quite done yet, but we're having a special guest come in to talk about a special event this weekend.
Nice. And the last thing I want to say is that humor in relationships is like the key ingredient. If you and your partner can laugh at each other and laugh together and laugh at yourselves, you know, that has been proven once again to help facilitate healthy, committed relationships over a long period of time. So I encourage you all to turn to your partners and laugh, laugh, laugh.
Short little break here in Love in the 21st Century. You're tuned to 90.1 FM. We're talking about love and relationships with Sadie Rose and Sky Lee. It's been a humorous and educational day. So now we're going to switch modes here a bit, and we're going to talk with Jonas.
Hello.
Hello, Jonas. And Jonas and I just met recently over the weekend, a wonderful dance party at Lost on Main. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me about this amazing event that he's a part of, so I'm going to let him share more about that.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm putting on an event this Sunday, which happens to be Easter, but it's an event called Bands for Bernie. And mostly it's to get people to register to vote if they haven't registered, and the deadline is in May, so it's more of getting the word out there.
Deadline is May for registration. Like, is that the beginning of May, or?
I think it's the end of May.
Okay.
Well, that's. I just say May, so you just keep it in your head. So.
We'll say May 1st.
Yep.
Register to vote. It's an important presidential campaign, an important presidential election coming up this year. So Bernie Sanders is running, and that's what I'm imagining the event is for, Bands for Bernie.
Yeah, we just love Bernie,
yeah.
And want to spread the message, the word, and it's not really a political event, so it's more just like-minded musicians and people who love music getting together. And
so there won't be any speeches made on Bernie's behalf by any of the band members?
If they want to, yeah, but there's no plan for that, so.
I'd love to hear why they want to vote for Bernie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So that's 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Chico Women's Club.
Mm-hmm.
So what has been your part in organizing it, Jonas?
There's a Facebook group called the Musicians for Bernie,
mm-hmm.
something like that, Northern State for Bernie. There's a couple groups, actually, and Kathy Williams is very involved with that, and she put a word out there saying, does anyone want to do the event? And I'm that kind of guy. I was like, this sounds great, let's do it.
Nice. Are you in any of the bands?
No, but we're doing, there's bands from 2 to 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. and then after that is just kind of an open jam, everyone playing together, so I plan to play then.
Nice. What do you play?
Guitar. Or bass, but mostly guitar.
Nice. It's Bands for Bernie. this weekend. So it's Easter, and there's an amazing event happening earlier in the morning, Pancakes for Peace, which is, I believe, going on its like 25th or more years, happening at
35th.
Mm-hmm. For real? 35th?
Yeah, 35th.
Wow, I was 10 years off. 35. Yep.
From 8 to 1 p.m., and then the Bernie Dance for Bernie show is at 2 o'clock, so walk off some pancakes through the park and head over to the Women's Club. It's a perfect setup.
It's a full day affair.
And it's all family oriented. So,
are there going to be multiple people helping you to register to vote, or is there just like a table that's going to be set up?
There's a table. There's a lady handling the registration and training people to register other people.
Right.
And maybe some other tables of different information and stuff. And then there might be some food, working on that, and possibly beer and wine too.
Nice.
And there's so many bands, I can't really nail down what bands, so just go on the Facebook page, Bands for Bernie event, and bring your guitars, come down to play, or come down and listen to music.
So I'm going to look it up right now, Bands for Bernie. So,
and also I want to mention, a lot of bands are asking me, or musicians are asking me, what's going to be there, and I'm going to have guitar amps, bass amp, drums, and all that, so it's pretty much bring your guitar.
Right. That sounds amazing. And about the registering to vote part, like, what I've been, as I've understood, is that it has to be pretty, you know, I hope that there's, you know, people there, like you're saying, that are trained and understand how to fill it out, because they can get denied based on how they're filled out. Like, if not, the information isn't written down in the perfect little boxes, in the perfect little way. So, if you're going, pay attention to how you're filling it out, because it is an important cause to be making sure you're registered to vote for. Presidential election coming up soon. As Jonas was saying, by the end of May, you have to be registered. So you don't want it to be something silly like you didn't fill it in the little boxes right.
And another important thing is, it's not only voting for the president, but there's a lot of issues we're going to be voting for on this next election, and I think everybody should be registered so they can vote for whatever they want to vote for.
Do you know some of those causes that you're referring to?
Yes and no. I don't really know the name of the initiatives or anything, but right. It's, you know, legalization.
Okay.
And a lot of other good stuff, too.
Yeah. So that's an important thing on the ballot for many people that live here in the North State and in California and all over the country. I mean, it's something that serves a lot of people that are in need, so that's a good thing to be aware of. And as time gets closer, we'll definitely be sharing more of what is happening on the election day and what initiatives you'll be able to vote for. So we like to, you know, show our love to the politics in that way, and love to community, because it really affects us all. And so I'm just looking here at some of the bands to expect. We've got Bob Backstrom. He's emceeing. Oh, Bob. I love Bob. So
yep,
awesome.
Bob's a good friend.
Famous laugh, Bob. Get Foxy, Tweener Between Sets, Holly Taylor's Jazz Combo, Moe's Family Band. That's so awesome. They're my neighbors. Thick and Thin. I don't know how to say Chris's last name, so I'm not going to try.
Chris
and Dory.
Oh, yeah. Chris and Dory.
Yeah.
From Chris Schatt Band. But nice. They're like both of them doing acoustic duo.
Nice.
Or maybe playing with other people. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. Secondhand Smoke, Alan Rigg, Stumblegum, And So It Goes, The Vengeful, Open Slot, Burt's Drum Exploration, Indigo Daydream, Diggs Roller, Super Jam. So, and a DJ at the end of it. I mean, this is just like going to be
DJ Dan. And I don't know what bands are going to show up on time or what, so it's all open, see what happens. It's a mystery, but it should be fun.
It's a Chico experiment.
And
the
last thing I want to mention, it's free.
Yeah.
Just show up and have a good time.
That's an important part, a free day. And as Jonas was mentioning, starting it out in the morning, Pancakes and Peace, and waddle yourself after some pancakes over to the Women's Club. It's a full day of family and community. What a better way to spend a Sunday.
Yes, and on Easter. What a better way to spend Easter with your family than music and pancakes.
Absolutely. So thank you, Jonas, for taking some time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for coming on, and look forward to seeing how the event turns out.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for Ecotopia. It's coming up next. And I've had a pleasure talking about love and relationships with you. As mentioned before, we are going to be talking about love and relationship for the next 5 weeks. So stay tuned to talk about it. Feel free to call in and be a part of the conversation at any point, 895-1114. Also message us on the Facebook page and we can get your comments involved, as well as maybe do a show on something you're really interested in talking about. And if you're not an internet person, which I get it, not everybody is, feel free to call the KZFR office and leave a message that way. 895-0131. 895-0131.
Swaying room as the music starts, strangers making the most of the dark. Two by two, their bodies become one. I see you through the smoky air. Can't you feel
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, and we'll be talking about This Way to Sustainability.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Ooh, ba, 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 ba. Ooh, ba, 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 ba. Hey, farmer, put away the DDT now.
But leave me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.